This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. Atlassian.com. Atlassian. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Shouldn't you be at work?
Oh, here's Gascoigne. Gascoigne, he can finish it here! Paul Gascoigne! 2-0! Lampard!
Brilliant!
It was in, no!
That surely crossed the line!
Oh, it's in! It's so far in!
Thanks very much, Sepp Blatter.
Clean sheet, I call it, is one of the most important things in football.
Nice to see your home fans booing you.
Emil Heskey, could it be five? Yes, it is!
Paul Bowden to take it. Oh, and he's hit the crossbar!
Gerrard, it's Carroll! What a goal by the England striker! That's why he was brought in, and he's done the job.
Saved! John Pickford! England on the brink!
Now, you know him better than anybody, probably. Do you back him to score quickly, yes or no?
Yes.
Oh, he hasn't!
No!
Hit leg!
Hello and welcome to this special preview sample edition of Quickly Kevin Will He Score. This is a little sample from our Patreon special, which came out today and is available for XJ8 members over on patreon.com/quicklykevin. We're doing these specials on Wednesday and Friday, as well as the episode in full you get on Mondays on the main feed. But anyway, without further ado, here's that little sample from today's Patreon special.
So here we are.
England versus Germany in the knockout stages of a European Championship at Wembley. What could go wrong?
Someone quickly chopped Thomas Müller's head off.
How are we feeling?
Sick with nerves already.
Do you know what's good about that? I'm really pleased with the 7-day break between games.
Oh, I'm not.
Do you know what I mean? I'm quite liking it. It feels quite Euro 96.
I need the distraction. The thoughts and the variations of what could and will happen is just consuming me increasingly hour by hour, day by day, because you don't want to look beyond Germany because that's foolish. But you can't not look and go, oh, hold on a minute. Hold on a minute.
Yeah. Do you know how we were talking about how we've got shafted on the draw? We haven't.
I know.
The two sides of the draw are phenomenally weighted. On one side, you've got France, Belgium, Italy, and Portugal. And on the other, you've got England, Germany, Holland, Sweden, Wales, and Denmark.
Yeah, it's kind of mad that you've got the current holders, the favourites, the number one team in the world, and I'd say on form, the best in the tournament in Italy.
Yeah, the world, all on one side of the draw.
Yeah.
So what I would say is every fibre in my being who's lived for 38 years knows that we're going to lose because we always do, right?
That said,
I'm sure, you know, you can only believe that sometimes things change, right? And is daring to dream during these tournaments not the fun of it? It's like getting lost in a holiday romance that you know is bad for you. Do you know what I mean? That's only going to end in tears. Is not part of the thrill, throwing yourself into the romance, throwing yourself into the kind of self-destructive dreaming?
Yeah. Otherwise, what's the point? Otherwise, what is the point? Yeah. If you can't believe, you might as well just not follow international football, because it's just every element of it is joyless otherwise.
Yeah.
I genuinely think we're going to beat Germany. I think, like, I wanted to get Germany. We've got Germany. I think we're going to beat them.
Let's say it. They're looking beatable.
Yes.
I've said it.
We were chatting during the game, and at one point it looked like we could have Germany or Portugal. And I think we all agreed we would rather have Germany than Portugal.
Yes.
Definitely.
Portugal look dangerous, although they're conceding shed loads of goals, they look bizarrely quite sturdy.
They've got loads of good players, Portugal, and lots of players who you could imagine doing us over.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Ronaldo, it just feels like he's got our number historically.
That's the one. Whereas the Germans haven't got our number start. But I think, you know, you always look for what is going to, because the Germans could easily just turn it on and beat England, but and I'm sure they will. But they look closer to the fragility of 2018. Do you know what I mean? It feels like they're a kind of busted flush flying by the seat of their pants slightly. And often those teams, you know, France, when they got to the final under Raymond Domenech, and they were very much like that. That can work, but they're fragile, I'd say. I think that's fair, isn't it?
Yeah.
I sort of see them as a kind of an old prized heavyweight boxer who is in the twilight of his career. He can still hurt you. They've still got an uppercut that can put you down. However, I think we're younger, we're quicker. If we box smart, I think we can take them down. And like, once Germany are gone, that's it. We're in the final.
Well, let me say this. That, because I think that's what's interesting about it. If we lose Germany, the whole tournament will be considered by many to have been a failure for England.
Yeah.
If we beat Germany, we then play Sweden for a semi-final.
Or the Ukraine.
Sweden or the Ukraine for a probable semi-final with Holland or Wales or Denmark or whoever Holland are playing the second round.
Czech Republic.
Either way, if we beat Germany, the country will suddenly just come alive with excitement.
I know.
It will be like nothing you've ever experienced since 1996, far more than 2018. And the potential will be there. I've never known a game, because you can talk about a semi-final, but Euro 96, the semi-final, 2018, 1996, 1990, it still felt, when we lost that, like we'd had a great summer. I've never known a game where it seems like the results point to two such differing interpretations of a tournament. This could be the biggest game in terms of impact since 1966 for the England football team.
It's hard to see how even a heroic defeat in this one game could save the summer.
Yeah.
Because it has been quite turgid up until this point. It hasn't felt like an international tournament summer as an England fan up until this point. But a defeat, no matter how brave that performance is, I still think Southgate's under pressure to leave. But a win, suddenly, I think we'd all look back very fondly on these last few weeks as the seed was there of a really good team. You're right. It is completely down to next Tuesday night at 5 p.m. That is going to define the summer.
Yeah. This Germany game reminds me of the round on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire just before you answer the question that gives you that safety net, that guaranteed amount.
Yeah, it's the 16,000 pound round, or the 32.
Great analogy.
If we get through this, then we're safe. We're free rolling. But if we don't, the drop off is absolutely huge. The disappointment is crushing. And I love that the stakes are so high. I love that we're playing Germany at this stage, because I feel like this is our best chance to beat them, not just in terms of who they are and their team and their players, but also at the stage in the tournament. Like, you want to play them when they're coming out of a group stage, having just got through. That Hungary game is going to take a lot out of them. They've got less time, like they've got less rest time. All of these things matter. It's all about fine margins. I think it's the best time in our lifetime to play Germany in a major tournament.
Well, can I, Michael, pose for you a £16,000 question, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire style?
Yep.
Yes.
In what decade did England last beat Germany or West Germany at Wembley? 70s, 80s, 90s, noughties.
I mean, the fact that you've asked it is going to make me say 70s.
You've got £32,000. And right then, I'd shake your hand and then show you the check like Chris Tarrant did.
Jeremy Clarkson. It's 2021, Skull. We're doing our topical ones. You've got to say Jeremy Clarkson. It's super exciting. At the end of the day, there'll be lots of talk about tactics and all this kind of stuff. And afterwards everyone will be wise after the event, in the same way that everyone that thought we'd beat Croatia suddenly said we were never going to defeat Luka Modric's midfield. Do you know what I mean? And it'll all be like, afterwards it'll be like, well, of course our defence couldn't deal with Thomas Müller and Kai Havertz and blah, blah, blah. But I don't find myself, if it was England v France, the things I'd be saying would be stuff like, well, you never know, these things can happen. But to me, it feels like a pretty toss of a coin game, really. I think it'd be fair to say it could go either way.
The weird thing I was thinking last night is I felt like this team, there was so much Euro 96 chat, so much pressure on that England-Scotland game at Wembley. There was so much, you know, so many people looking back to what a fantastic day it was in Euro 96, and there was so much pressure on the team to do something similar against Scotland at Wembley. Isn't this Germany game? It's even more charged. There's even more pressure on this. It's a knockout after all. There is no safety net here. And if we couldn't cope with the pressure against Scotland, how is this team mentally ready to cope with the pressure that's going to come and all those callbacks to Germany?
It's a completely different game. I think the problem with the Scotland game was actually not about pressure. It was about just a team that is very well organised and does a very good job of playing five at the back and being very solid and us being unable to break them down. And I think, from watching Germany against Portugal and Hungary, I wouldn't say that's what they're dealing with. They are they are all over the shop. They're brilliant at scoring goals and they are very dodgy at the back. And they're sometimes brilliant for 20 minutes and sometimes awful for 20 minutes. It's just, I don't know what more there is to say, really, except it's very exciting and I can't wait.
Well, could we just rattle through some of the previous England-Germany games in tournaments? So if we go back to 2010.
Yeah, that was awful.
4-1, the Frank Lampard goal. What was our memories of that?
I was in a pub. I was doing a gig in the evening in Brighton. I'd signed out of that World Cup in a way. Do you know what I mean? I wasn't watching that in a way that I'd now be watching a game. I think that period of my life as well was probably the least I was into football. Do you know what I mean? The period between the 90s and now. Certainly the least I was into international football, because I think also 2006 had been such a big thing in my life that I thought it was going to be brilliant. And then England weren't. That 2010 always felt a bit like the hangover.
Yeah. Do you know what? I watched the highlights of that 2010 game. It's actually because the score's 4-1, you kind of forget that it's actually quite a close game. We went 2-0 down and then it was 2-1 when Lampard gets the ghost goal.
Yeah.
Is that how you remember it, Michael? Do you remember it being a close game?
Yeah, I mean, I remember they were the better side, but that goal, I mean, my biggest feeling and take home from that, you know, a decade or so later, is just a real raw sense of injustice. Had that goal counted, the swing of the game was already starting to change. And if that goes in, I think the momentum of that carries us over into the second half and we probably win that game.
Lampard! Brilliant!
It was in!
Surely crossed the line. Oh, it's in. It's so far in.
Thanks very much, Sepp Blatter.
Although it makes it worse that goal wasn't allowed, I'm sort of like, oh, whatever. We were always going to lose to Germany, and it doesn't feel like that now. Like, it doesn't feel like it. I'm pinning my flag to this mast and saying we are going to beat Germany.
Oh God. Yes.
Can I ask a question? If we beat Germany, so we get to the quarters.
Yeah.
Right. Possibly the semis, possibly the final. I don't think we'll possibly win it. Do you think that were that to happen, we're now living through the greatest glory period of English international football?
Well, I think if we got to the final, you'd have to say since 66.
But if we got two semis in the space of 3 years, but we're so far ahead of ourselves, why am I doing this? Stop talking about
it. What are you doing
about
this?
What? Because I enjoy it. That's the thing. I love to torture myself. That's the best bit, is torturing yourself about what could happen, daring to dream and then being disappointed. Imagine getting to the end of this tournament and not having spent the week before the Germany game dreaming of what might happen, but instead spent the whole time worrying that we were turgid against Scotland.
Yeah.
Why would you do that to yourself? Live this week. Live this week of absolute excitement, fear, and tiny kernel of knowledge that it'll all go wrong and live that, because that is what supporting England always has been and always will be at a major tournament. And I 100% subscribe to that newsletter.
I am more stirred by that speech than Henry V. I wholeheartedly concur. Like, that's exactly what international football, especially as an England fan, should be. Exist in that dream. Wrap yourself in that bubble of hope and optimism, and then watch it come crashing down. Like, what a glorious place to be. I don't want to sit here all pragmatic, like, well, yeah, historically, of course we won't beat the Germans, or we'll get to there and we'll lose to the Dutch. No. What is the point of being an international football fan if you can't look at it and go, yeah, we could do this. Yeah, do you know what? We are going to do this. Because I guarantee you those Portugal fans 5 years ago weren't there going, oh, God, oh, God. They believed. They embraced it. And I think it makes it all the more sweeter if it happens. Otherwise, you might as well go into like every relationship that you go into going, yeah, well, they're just going to break up with me. This is going to end badly. Yeah. I'm going to get divorced. Like, dust yourself off. Heart, yeah. Pick yourself up. Get back in the ring and fucking rip open your chest and say, England, my heart is yours. Do with it as you please.
Does such strange things to you, doesn't it? Because I was thinking, like, I feel like a bit like this is Christmas Eve, but it's not like you're not waking up on like Christmas Day and it's going to be all you're kind of like, I guess you're like OJ Simpson waiting to find out the verdict, aren't you? It's kind of like there's trepidation and excitement, but it could all be terrible. It could be terrible and it could be brilliant. And I guess that's why we love football and sport.
I'm going to tell you this now, Chris. If England lose, the fact that you've been down on the team throughout the tournament won't make you feel any better.
Exactly.
I think it's emotionally hedging yourself, isn't it, though? You're putting yourself in the... You're getting ready for disappointment by expressing disappointment. I don't know. I mean, I'm so excited. I'd love us to win so much. I don't know. When you've had your heart broken so many times, there's only so much you can take.
How we feel and what we think has zero impact on the outcome of the result. But it's nice to look back and in hindsight, when you reflect on it weeks, months, years from now and go, well, I did everything I could. I believed. I don't ever want to look back and think there was a collective kind of consciousness of people doubting. And if there is any such a thing as karma or energy in the world, it's like every vote counts. Don't let your piece of negativity be the thing that tips the cosmic balance against England.
Yes.
I want everyone, I'm going to be Yuri Geller. I want everyone, come 5 o'clock on Tuesday, I want you to believe that England are going to win, because we're going to do it.
I tell you who we need. We need Yuri. We need him on side.
Fuck Yuri.
Any help he can get.
It's coming home, it's coming, football's coming home, it's coming home, it's coming home, it's coming, football's coming home.
Well, I think that really sums up the mental state. If ever a podcast has mapped people's mental states over time, I really feel like today's episode, in comparison with the post-Scotland episode, does. Now, we had an email in last week, didn't we? Which was about how much better the Euros would be if, for the second round, rather than all this B2 plays the third place from A3 or whatever, all the team managers were put in a room in a circle. And the one that had finished with most points and the best goal difference picks their opponents first until you've got the 8 fixtures. And we thought this is a brilliant idea for a number of reasons, which you can find out on Wednesday. On the last podcast we did, we discussed this. But we said once we'd got the 16 teams, we would then play out the draw as we think it would have gone. And we would see what the fixtures were. So we're going to do that now. Chris and Michael, do you want to take it in turns to be the manager of the team that I announce?
Yeah.
Yeah?
And we should say, so the way we've mapped it out is, as Josh said, it's points first. You get first, and then if you've got the same amount of points, it's goal difference. And if two or more teams have got the same points and goal difference, it's then the number of goals that they scored in the group stages to encourage attacking football.
Yes. So the teams in order would be Italy, Netherlands, Belgium, Sweden, England, Spain, France, Portugal, Germany, Croatia, Czech Republic, Wales, Switzerland, Denmark, Ukraine. So, Chris?
Yes.
Well, let's start with you, Michael. You'd be Roberto Mancini. Who would you like to pick?
Well, I think two choices here for me, if I'm Mancini. It's either Ukraine as the weakest team overall in the group stages, lucky to get through, 3 points, goal difference of -1. However, because we've played them in the group stages and we comfortably beat them 3-0, I'm going to pick Switzerland.
Great choice.
Play them again.
We play them again. We know them. I think they're fortunate to be there. And I think across the board, not just in terms of ability, but also the psychological battle, I think we win that game.
Skull, do you agree with that pick?
That is a fantastic. Do you know what? The mind games of that as well. Because it was such a comfortable victory. If you're Switzerland, you're going into that game.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed that. Full episode is available on Patreon. Then we're back on the main feed on Monday.
So that's it. We'll speak to you again after the weekend. See you on Monday. Until then, Robbie Slater. See you later.
Go left! Hit left! Hit left over the top!
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.